All right, it's 5:30 p.m., so I will call this meeting into order. First up on our agenda is to approve the agenda. You all should have received it in your email. Do we have a motion on the floor to approve? Dr. Brandley moved that we approve. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And the ayes have it. Item number two, our action items. Our first up is approval of the December meeting minutes. You should have had a chance to review those. If you have no corrections, do we have a motion on the floor?
Motion to approve.
Do we have a second?
I second the motion.
All right, it's been properly moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. All right, our next item is approval of the FY 2024 UPWP, and we have a presentation.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, the Unified Planning Work Program is the staff budget, basically. So it documents how much money we get and for what staff activities. And the fiscal year 2024 runs from July 1st, 2023 to June 30th, 2024. For the planning grant, we actually have three funding grants. The first is the planning, highway planning, PL, from Federal Highway Administration. The second is Y410, and it's also from Federal Highway Administration, but it's a set aside from the PL and specifically for safety and non-motorized transportation related activities. And the third grant that we have is from Federal Transit Administration called Section 5303. And that's for transit planning activities. All of these funds will require match, local match. PL normally require, actually all of them require 20% local match. But for the PL, the MPO membership dues pays 20%. On the Y410, actually federal government just had issued a waiver. So we don't need to pay, the match. And then the Section 5303, Georgia DOT pays 10%, so the MPO membership dues pays 10%. And these funds can only be used for planning, so basically highway planning and transit planning. And no rollover, so if we are not spending the money, we return the money to GDOT. I wouldn't say return, it's just that we are not going to encumber, because it's a reimbursement process. So for next year's planning budget, we have about $776,000. Highway PL is about $435,000. So with local match, we got about $545,000. Y410, we got only $11,000. But that still contributed to the non-motorized transportation plan update and implementation. And Section 5303, the federal grant is about $176,000. With the state and local match, the trend is about $222,000. So the total, about $776,000, will be used for all these planning tasks. So task 1, 2, 3, 4 will be paid by the PL planning grant, and administration include having meetings, coordination work, and staff training, UPWP development, contract development, execution, reimbursement. And then equipment and supplies, for example, equipment, computers, software. So that's what that is for administration. Public involvement, supporting the CACs, the Citizens Advisory Committee, and maintaining the MPO website, and answering questions from the general public requesting data requests, like traffic counts, maps, level of service, bicycle pedestrian counts and data. So that's involved in public involvement. Data collection analysis forecasting divided into two parts. One is the socioeconomic data development that is related to census. And another part is the traffic impact analysis, as you have a major subdivision. So we will analyze what kind of traffic impact, or we review the TIA report. And the system planning and operations has the major budget, as you can see, because that's where most of the planning activities take place, including Metropolitan Transportation Plan, Transportation Improvement Program, Freight Planning, Congestion Management Process, Non-Motorized Transportation Plan Update, etc. The transit planning are divided into four different tasks: administration, like supporting ACAT, and also executing the federal the transit contract and the reimbursement, including in that. Long-range plan, of course, the 2050 plan development. Short-range planning, including the transit master plan, coordination, transit development plan. So several studies that CAT is doing. So we are going to coordinate with CAT and help them provide assistance as needed and coordinate them with probably public outreach, etc. So that's including the short-range planning. And the transportation improvement program, because we are supposed to include the transit 5307, 5339, 5307, etc., into the TIP as well, before the funds can flow from FTA to CAT. And then, as I mentioned, the other task of Y410 will be used for increasing safe and accessible transportation options. So mostly that will be used for update and implement the non-motorized transportation plan. So these are all the budget for the planning staff activities. We do document some other planning sources, the funding sources for special studies, because all those studies will fit into our long-range transportation plan and the TIP. But these are studies, we are not using these funds for the MPO planning activities, because these will be mostly used by consultants. And when we coordinate with consultants to review deliverables, that will be covered under system planning and operations. So these discretionary funds, one part is discretionary PL funds, and it's Georgia DOT has like two-time application process. One is in March, another one is in September, and then the MPO can apply for these funds on behalf of MPO or on behalf of our local jurisdictions. And then eventually the PL funds review committee decides whether to award those funds or not. We currently have two studies that are using this discretionary PL funds. So I'm going to talk about that later. And the other two parts, one is Y230 funds that can also be used for studies. Most of those funds will be used for projects, but some of them can be used for studies as well. And the CRESA funds, that is the COVID relief funds. These funds can be used for projects and studies, and currently we also have those. And the MPO actually controls the Y230 funds and the CRESA funds, so we did conduct the call for projects. Remember, we talked about it last August, October, and December. So we control the award of these funds. And all of these funds, discretionary funds, and the Y230 funds and CRESA funds all require 20% local match. Normally, because it's a study, so it's the whoever is the study sponsor pays the 20% local match. So currently, we have, for the discretionary PL, we have MPO freight plan update is funded by this source, and the urban flooding model planning tools also funded by this source. And the Y230 funded studies, we actually awarded the three studies with these funds. All three studies are from Chatham County. Sterile 204 access study, US 17 corridor study, and President Street Railroad crossing elimination study. And the other one, the CRESA funds, doesn't require local match. We awarded that to the US 80 corridor study, to Pooler. So Pooler is undertaking that study. So of all these studies, the freight plan, urban flooding model, and the US 80 corridor study wrapping up hopefully before October 31st of next year. But the other three studies, Chatham County Studies, 204, US 17, and President Street, going into RRP process pretty soon. So hopefully they will start the study at the beginning, at the end of this fiscal year 2023, and a more intensive development in fiscal year 2024. On the transit side, we have discretionary 5303 grant. It's very limited, but we did apply for these funds on behalf of a CAT to pay for the remix software. So GDOT makes final decision. Right now, we don't know whether we got it or not, but we applied for about $28,000 with CAT providing local match. The total is about $35,000. And CAT, as I mentioned, CAD also is doing other studies, and so we are including those into the UPWP as well, just for informational purposes, just to say what planning activities are going on in our area. So as I mentioned, the remix using discretionary 5303, and that's about $35,000, and the CAD using 5307 funds for the transit development plan and master transit plan, and they're using the ARP funds for route restoration and transit enhancement study, and then using AAOP funds for a study to address poverty reductions through transit improvements. So these discretionary funds or additional funds are just listed over here for information. For next year's major task for the staff major task activities. So of course the 2015 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update is a major effort. And then, CMP will be coordinated with the MTP because it will eventually recommendations from CMP will feed into the 2015 MTP. And a completion of the regional freight transportation plan and urban flooding model study that will be completed at the beginning of the fiscal year 2024. And the TIP, we're going to adopt the new TIP by June of this year. So that's the end of fiscal year 2023. So that means in 2024, we only need to do TIP maintenance and update. But if we cannot adopt the TIP this year, probably new TIP will be developed next year. And finalization of a reapportionment, I'm going to talk about that in a moment. In another agenda item, and then we will have other plan updates because of the reapportionment, because the participation plan, Title VI plan, etc., have to be updated, and then we will continue to adopt the safety targets, transit safety targets, TAM targets, highway safety, highway PM2, PM3 targets. So just continue for performance-based planning and programming, and then also monitor the latest funding legislation and for implementation, because the federal government constantly throws out notice funding opportunities because there are so many discretionary programs under this new funding legislation, and it's very, very hard to track. Even the federal employees, Federal Highway FTA, I think even for them it's a challenge. So we constantly monitor that. And the development of the 2024 UPWP, the public involvement for this involves two rounds, because the first rounds we presented the draft to you in December. But before that, we actually did a call for plans and studies in August and completed the transit tasks in October, and then have the draft ready in December. And so you endorsed us to send this to Federal Highway Administration, FTA, and GDOT for comment. And we did that in December. And we received the comments from FHWA in January 2023. So the draft is attached to the agenda that has already incorporated all of the comments received from FHWA. So I'm just listing some of those comments over here. But if you want to see the specific comments and responses, and they are including Appendix C. But the major updates would be we added the MPO board and advisory committee rosters. We added the list of acronyms and terms. And the December version of the preliminary draft of UPWP didn't have the Y410. program. So we added that in. And then we, because of that, and we also updated the budget, and also the PL funds has a little bit changed. So we updated the budget. But in terms of the planning tasks, we didn't have that much change. So all of the changes, if you review the document, are highlighted in red. So we are hoping for the CEC to endorse the UPWP today, and next Wednesday, the MPU board can adopt the UPWP, and after that, we will transmit the adopted UPWP to the federal government and the state government, and then the FHWA probably will approve. Normally, the approval comes in February, and after that, GDOT can start to develop the PL, Y410, and the Section 53 contracts. So, staff will just work according to the schedule in the UPWP.
To
Tony,
Brantley seconds.
Turn on the microphone.
Brantley seconds the motion.
How's that?
Yes.
Motion to approve the FY 2024 UPWP presentation as presented.
Draft. It's been moved and second. Do we have any conversation or questions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Our next item is the performance-based planning target adoption.
I'm going to open this up and control this, but Jasmine is going to do the presentation. Unfortunately, she has a cold, so she doesn't want to come over here to spread the germ. So,
understandable.
Yeah, she's in her office.
Hello, do you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
So Wakota just briefly mentioned performance-based planning targets. This is kind of like a new concept. It was, I think the last set of targets was adopted in 2018, and now it's time to update them again. Usually, they're revisited for adoption every 4 years. So the time has come. GDOT had, adopted their statewide targets for PM1, PM2, and PM3 on December 12th. 2022, and Chatham Area Transit adopted their targets for safety transit targets. They were adopted on January 1st of this year, and the transit asset management targets were adopted on July 1st of this year. And MPOs have the option to set their own targets or adopt the respective agency's targets, and so that's what we have chosen. So we have 180 days to adopt those targets for the Savannah Metro Planning Area. And once they are adopted, they will go into the appendix of the long range plan, which is the 2045 total mobility plan that we currently have. And they will also go into our current TIP, which covers fiscal years 2021-2024. Scroll down. For our PM1, as you see here, PM1 covers the number of fatalities, rate of fatalities, number of serious injuries, rate of serious injuries per vehicle miles traveled, and the also for non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries. So as you see here, these are the GDOT numbers for PM1. For the CAT safety transit targets, this covers fatalities, serious injuries, safety events, and system reliability. And these are the targets that has been set by CAT. For PM2, this is the bridge and pavement condition. As you see here, you can see the 2-year and 4-year targets that has been set. And this just kind of look at the percentage that they aim for, that they look at that's in poor condition and good condition, and they just kind of set a target of what they would like to aim for at the 2-year and 4-year mark. The next one is PM3. This is for system reliability. This is, I know you may see Atlanta here, but again, as we adopt what GDOT sets for the overall state, it kind of includes Atlanta's urbanized area for those two particular items that's within the PM3. But PM3 just pretty much covers, it looks at freight, which is your truck travel time reliability. It also looks at a percent of persons' miles traveled on the national highway system, as well as the non interstate. And it also looks at the non-single occupancy vehicle travel and the emissions. And as you see here, these are the 2-year and 4-year targets that have been set. These targets can be revisited at the 2-year mark, but they will be expected to be adopted again in 2024. And then lastly, we have CAT transit asset management targets, and this just looks at rolling stock, equipment, and facilities, just looking at things in state of good repair and just looking at the life expectancies on all of these items. And again, this is just a part of the federal performance measures that's required by both agencies, and we are asking that you all endorse this for it to be adopted by the core board on the February 22nd. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions? Do we have a motion to adopt?
I so move.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on our agenda is our status reports, starting with the 2050 MTP update.
I would just to finish my portion of it. There are only two major activities that are ongoing. The first is the 2050 socioeconomic data development, because that will be used to do the travel demand model. We developed the 2050, the draft data has been submitted to GDOT in early January. And then we received the GDOT comments about 3 days ago, 2 days ago, I think. So we're going to address those comments. And the second part is Asia has been compiling the survey results. She presented to you the text survey results, but she's going to present to you the map survey results today.
Okay, good evening, everyone. I'll just go through this very briefly. So in addition to the text survey that we have going for the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan update, we also have a comment map survey where you can actually put a pin on a map and identify a problem or an opportunity within that area. So since we've had this comment map open, we've received approximately 70 comments, and those comments cover an array of topics from intersection improvements to safety concerns. The results from this map survey help us identify specific geographic locations that must be more deeply analyzed in the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So where exactly are these comments coming from? So the comments stretch pretty far throughout Chatham County and really the whole core MPO area, but there are a few areas that have kind of a cluster of comments. So Savannah, for the most part, has the most comments. And within Savannah, the downtown area, Midtown, and then also the area surrounding Victory Drive have received the most comments. In Pooler, there are around 10 comments, and many of them were concentrated around Pooler Parkway. And then the Islands also received 8 comments, especially around Islands Expressway and Johnny Mercer Boulevard. So what exactly are people saying? So this is just a word cloud to kind of represent some of the most common words that people commented. So it's not really a surprise that traffic is kind of one of the big ones. But we also got a lot on signals, sidewalks, lanes, and intersections, to name a few. So I'm just going to go briefly into some example comments of, you know, what people have been saying. So again, many respondents were concerned about traffic and congestion. One respondent identified Benton Boulevard as a especially congested roadway and suggested adding a lane to increase traffic flow. In terms of sidewalks and pedestrian infrastructure, a lot of people were concerned about safety in regards to pedestrian and cycling infrastructure. So one respondent stated there are a number of bicyclists of all ages, including children, that ride along Coffee Bluff / White Bluff where there is no shoulder or sidewalk. This creates a dangerous situation for both driver and cyclist. Intersections also came up a lot, especially regarding left turns. So here's an example comment where someone stated that Habersham and 63rd needs a left turn signals, a left turn signal, especially as traffic backs up on Habersham during busy traffic times. And so I just wanted to give a thanks to all respondents. These comments are extremely important, and they help us better understand the transportation needs within the area. Although we only went over a handful of comments, we really do read every single comment that we receive. And this comment map is extremely helpful in assisting core staff with identifying some of the most problematic areas in the region. Are there any questions?
We had an issue, not an issue, but question came up at our earlier meeting like two different times. A question came up concerning who were the people who were responding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we said that the profile was people who were very comfortable, well off economically speaking. And the question was, how are we reaching out to get people who are not as comfortable off?
So that
they probably have different needs too.
Mm-hmm. So that was for our text survey, mm-hmm. and we're actually in contact with some of the local organizations like the Harambe House to reach some of those communities, like people of communities with a lot of people of color or low income neighborhoods. And again, the survey is still ongoing, so we're still trying to receive input. So those communities still have a chance to be included because this plan is not going to be adopted until August of 2024. So we still have time.
Any other questions or comments?
I have a comment.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that I thought it was pretty cool for you guys to have a map where people can pinpoint where their concerns are. And better describe, because that interactive part of it really helps it move along as well. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Thank you.
Any other comments? All right, thank you. Our next item is the core MPO regional freight plan update.
We did have the consultant to come over here this morning to give the presentation on that. So I'm just going to, actually the presentation is right over here attached, but I'm going to the CompU Freight Plan update website. So if you want to review all of the deliverables and then also all of the presentations, you can see each presentation is a summary of the deliverables. So starting June and October and February, so you can see the presentations including all of the information. But most of the technical work on the freight needs assessment analysis and the land use assessment and economic development and market assessment and environmental community impact scan analysis are done. So the land use assessment is almost done, but it's just like the final deliverables are still, the draft deliverables still need some QA, QC. So it will be posted over here, pretty soon. So as you can see, all of these are available and very technical documents, but with a lot of good information. So now we evaluate the needs. So next step is to develop the recommendations. So starting this month, we will work on the recommendations on land use and infrastructure improvements and the policy recommendations just based on the needs that have been identified. So if you want to review the deliverables, they're all here. Please try to send us the comments back by the end of March so that we can incorporate and finalize these. Another thing I want to do is just to tell you that we're going to host a virtual forum for the freight plan update, which is on March the 6th at 6 p.m. And so you can just come over here and you can just open this public notice. I think Sally might have already sent you this notice. So you can just go to that, go to webinar and then just attend this. So, basically I think this is what the freight plan is. And then eventually, the freight plan recommendations will be fit into the 2050 as well. And the freight plan itself also contains a lot of information because they have already done the inventory, the roadway inventory, the functional classifications, at grade crossings, the bridges. So we already have that information. So we can actually directly use that information and start to draft the 2050 MTP plan. That's it. So any questions?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
We can move to item 6, the non-motorized transportation plan update status report.
Okay, hi again. Let me just open the presentation. Okay, I'm just going to give a brief status update on what we've been doing for the non-motorized transportation plan. So some of what we've been doing is including new data or updated data into this plan to really determine the needs of the area. So the data that you're seeing here is just an example of some of the data that we're including, and it's specifically from the American Community Survey. And this chart just details the percentage of households without a car or percentage of the population in poverty, the population of elderly people, and the population of people under 16, and then also the percentage of the population with a disability. And we really wanted to highlight this specific data just because we know certain groups of people have less transportation access than other groups of people. So we wanted to kind of see, have a snapshot of like who needs transport or non-motorized transportation options the most, just because they might not have motorized vehicle access or have the ability to drive a vehicle. We also identified some priority areas to focus in on in terms of where we will implement non-motorized infrastructure first. So for this plan, we are developing a wider regional network that runs through Chatham County, through Bryan County, and through Effingham County. And so we have that larger regional network, but we also wanted to zone in on basically the neighborhood level as well. So some of those priority areas that are smaller scale than that larger regional network that we're also working on are the roadways around schools, bus stops, our existing bike lanes that might not be in good condition. We're also prioritizing areas with high bike and pedestrian crash rates, and then also areas with high pedestrian and bike activity. We're also doing a SWOT analysis to really understand what is working in our favor in terms of implementing non-motorized transportation infrastructure, and then also what's not working in our favor. So SWOT just stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And so we just want to see, is it a physical barrier thing? Is it just because there are too many, it's physically harder to implement bike and pedestrian just because of the natural environment? Or maybe it's just policy implementation is hard. Or maybe there's just not enough public support, and so we need to look into increasing public support.
Excuse me.
Yes.
What does the T stand for again?
Threats.
Threats.
Yes. And so threats, that's also just kind of what might be working against non-motorized transportation. And so one of the threats that we identify is that the public often is not very knowledgeable of bike and pedestrian laws. So maybe that's another area we need to look into so people can become more informed on what is allowed for bike and pedestrians in the area. We also looked at CAT ridership data, and CAT very graciously sent us their bus ridership data. And we saw that the DOT had the highest ridership within that data. And so we wanted to kind of explore why the DOT is seeing such high ridership. So in addition to being free, which is obviously very helpful in ridership, the DOT also runs through our downtown area. And we know our downtown area has more sidewalks and crosswalks. It's more likely to have mixed use and denser developments. So people's trips between the areas that they want to visit are shorter than maybe some of the non-DOT bus lines. And so we really wanted to look at public transportation and ridership data, just because the conditions that lead to high public transportation ridership also lead to higher rates of biking and walking. And often public transportation and non-motorized transportation have a symbiotic relationship. And then we're also just doing some aesthetic updates. So we're just doing updates to the formatting, the design, and then some of the images. And so this slide is outdated. We're actually extending the adoption date of this plan. So instead of it being June 2023, our aim is to complete this plan before August 2024 when we adopt the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. So this gives us a lot more time to create a more robust plan. Are there any questions?
Thank you. Our next item is the urban flooding model.
Hello, Jasmine here again. So for the urban flooding model, our latest update is we now have received all the critical infrastructure data from all the counties within the Savannah, which within our planning area. So this will go into the social vulnerability analysis. So very grateful that we were able to get this information so it could go into the model. The consulting team was supposed to present today at the TCC meeting, but after looking at the timeline and seeing how much data was supposed to be available following that timeline, we just thought it would be better to meet in April. So the next meeting, where the consultants will come in person to provide a presentation will be at the April 20th meeting for the TCC. If you all are available to participate online or come in, definitely do. They have a lot of information as it relates to flooding in the area, and also would like to hear from you all about some concerns or experiences. But that's all that I have at this time.
Do we have any questions?
No.
Thank you. Moving along with our agenda, agency reports. I believe most of these are listed under notices. We ask that you all review those prior to the meeting. If you have any questions or comments, please let staff know. And we have none today, so we'll move to other business. Item number 8, MPO boundary, MOU, and bylaws updates.
Okay. In the next few months, this will be our focus. We call this reapportionment because it's inclusive of MPO planning boundary update, MOU update, bylaws update, plan updates. So why are we doing this? Because every MPO must have a planning boundary. And each boundary is revisited by, every 10 years after the census releases the data. The census actually releases the 2020 Savannah urban area in very late December of last year. So we are going to use that as the basis to update our planning boundary. Current boundary is Chatham County and Two Tiny Fingers in Effingham County and then Richmond Hill in Bryan County. But I will show you in a moment the map of the So we're expanding more into Bryan County and more into Effingham County. So that means we have to finalize our boundary. The basis to update the boundary is the Savannah urban area boundary plus area expected to become urbanized in the next 20 years. So what are we going to update? Besides that boundary, the MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, and the funding agreement, and the bylaws, and all the plans. So this is my most optimistic timeline. So I have actually, while I was doing the presentation this afternoon to TCC, I realized this might be too optimistic. But we will try. So we are going to start to we already started to work on the MPO boundary update. We hope to have that finalized by the MPO at least in April. And then after we finalize boundaries, so we will know maybe the new jurisdictions will be added, for example, Bryan County and, for example, Rincon. So we will be able to update the MOUs and the bylaws and hopefully have that adopted in June. And then after that, MOU needs signature of by all of the local jurisdictions. So we would just give like 2 months to the local jurisdictions to sign the MOUs and the funding agreements. And then eventually, after we collect all the signatures, we forward the whole package to the governor and to GDOT and the governor. So we will give the governor just 1 month to sign the signature, which is probably too optimistic. But this is the timeline. So hopefully, by the end of September, we will have have at least the revised boundaries so that we know, how to update our UPWP, how to update our TIP, like which other projects we would need to include in the new area. And the participation plan and the Title VI also needs to be updated as well. And then, our MTP, 2050 MTP will include projects in the newly outlined boundary. So we hope to have the core MPO starts to operate and the new MPO, MOU and the bylaws in January 2024.
Question. Or damage could be done if this is not approved. I mean, if you're too optimistic and these goals are not achieved, what would be the worst thing that could happen?
It's not something worse to happen. So it's like even the boundary discussion might take longer than we expect. And also when we send the MPO might be able to adopt the MOU and bylaws, but when we send the MOUs to the maybe City of Savannah, Garden City, Pooler, Fort Wentworth, Tybee Island, Richmond Hill, Rincon, they all have different meeting schedules. So that might, their schedule might not be able to like happen during that time. So that's why I said it might be too optimistic, but we might achieve this. I don't know. But it's just, because everybody's, a budgeting process and budgeting, like timeline is different, like one is in the fiscal year, one is calendar year. So because the MOU also include funding agreements. So they have to make sure, like they pay the MPO dues. So it's included in their budget. So that's why this might drag on for a while.
Could be no loss of funds though if it wasn't done though.
No, it's just right now, say Rincon is not included, but Rincon might be included. So they might start to pay. But right now that like paying the MPO dues, it might not be that much, but still not in their budget. You know, like Bryan County, Buckhead is actually included in the Savannah urban area. So Buckhead has to be, at Bryan County will have to pay, but currently they're not even a member. So there are a lot of details to be worked out. So the approach that we're doing is that like staff will work on most of those documents, but we are going to have a working group to just review the staff recommendations and probably give us guidance on how to approach this. For example, how to expand the boundary. Are you going to use population density or are you going to household information or housing density? I mean, what kind of a methodology we're going to use? So we're going to have a working group to help us review all that information and give us recommendations. And then when we have that recommendations, we have to go through the advisory committees to be vested. So TCC is okay with it, CEC is okay with it, ACAT is okay with it. And then we recommend everything to the Core MPO board, and the MPO board can just adopt that. And then we start to update our plans when everything is adopted. So the working group, today I'm going to ask a CEC probably to volunteer, if you would volunteer to be a working group member. So I'm planning to have three meetings, probably March. We will have one April and May. We'll have one because currently we have one volunteer from ACAT and three or four volunteers from TCC. But we would like to get everybody's input. So if you volunteer, and we'll send you like a schedule proposal to see which one fits you so that we can schedule the meetings. And then we will present the information and then we will start the discussions. I mean, the meetings might be virtual. It doesn't have to be like in person. So we can do the virtual meetings. And the MOU contents basically it just defines the contracting parties' roles and responsibilities. What is the Core MPO roles and responsibilities? What is City of Savannah's, Chatham County's, and what is GDOT's roles and responsibilities? What is GPA's and Savannah Airport Commission, CAT? So that's basically that's why you see the signature probably needs longer time. So that's what's included in the MOU, and then the MOU also includes the Core MPO final boundary and then the funding agreement. So you have the fee structure and the funding agreement in there. So this is just example on what the local jurisdiction, local governments' roles and responsibilities are currently delineated. But these texts are subject to change, subject to edits, because that's what the working group is for. So you want to review sentence by sentence to see whether this still makes sense. And this is the boundary. So the purple area is the 2020 census defined Savannah urban area. As you can see, it reaches more into Bryan County, includes not only Richmond Hill, but also Buckhead. And in Effingham County is more than the two tiny little fingers. It's, you have more over here. But because of the criteria census uses, the jump distance reduced from 2.5 miles to 1.5 miles. So Rinkin becomes its own urban area. So it's not connected, it's not included in the Savannah urban. But if you look at this, and it's very, very close. So very, very close. And, some other areas you can see these are based on the population density of the 2020 data. So you can see some of these areas will be included, like this tiny area in Effingham County might need to be included. So that means that the contiguous area might be included as well. So if you see from the 2050 data, based on the 2050 data, you can see even more Bryan County needs to be included, because the MPO boundary is the current Savannah urban area plus area to be urbanized within the next 20 years. So probably South Bryan County you will see more, but in order to smooth the boundary, you probably just use the like a road line, the roadways as natural boundary. So the boundary wouldn't be zigzagging. So it would be more smooth. And actually, if you see Bryan County, northern Bryan County, because of the new development over there, industrial warehousing. So you see more density over there as well. So, Rinkin in Effingham County, they have already expressed interest of joining the MPO. So we think our boundary will include Rinkin. But whether we will include Springfield, we don't know. But this is the time that we try to define some kind of a methodology to define all of this. And this is just the one methodology we use. We will use the population density. So this just give us some information. But if we decide to use some other information, then we can do that. And the funding agreement, like I said, some people will start to pay, if Rincon joins, and Bryan County definitely. Currently, only Richmond Hill pays. Bryan County doesn't. So they definitely will have to pay. So we have to revise that. And then we will have to define, what is the population of a city of Savannah? What is the population of, the jurisdictions might be easier, but Bryan County, if it's part of it, is included. So we have to calculate what is population in residing in Richmond Hill and what is the rest of population in those areas. So we have to use the population based and so define the funding agreement methodology. The bylaws update, we are still going to keep the MPO and advisory committee bylaws in one document, but we want to standardize the election time, cause currently some committee elects in July, so some committee made an election in December, so we want to standardize that. So it's easier for us to track. And also, for the CONPO board membership, for CONPO board, currently the CEC chairman and the ACAT chairman are the voting members on the CONPO board, but neither chairman has been attending the CONPO board for several years. So probably we will just be the advisory committee instead of the voting member to the CONPO board. So we want to remove the CEC and ACAT chairperson from the CONPO board. And this is just the proposals. And add the jurisdictional representatives like Bryan County and the Rincon. And then we also want to push for election of MPO's chairperson and vice chairperson, because every other advisory committee does the election except the CONPO board. So we want to push for there to do election as well. And then this might impact you more. We want to combine CEC and ACAT into one committee, because CEC, we have 15 voting seats, but every time we see how many people, 3 or 4. So we had some hard time reaching quorum before, and we also have some hard time filling the positions before, filling the vacancies before. And ACAT has the same problem. So they have 21 member voting seat, but normally we struggle to have 7, which was the quorum. So we want to combine these two committees. And also the meeting frequencies we're proposing probably doesn't have to we don't have to meet every 2 months, because if we are developing major plans like 2050 plan, we can meet more often. But if just doing the tip amendments, you're basically doing rubber stamping. So it doesn't make any sense. And also, if we want to update the participation plan, you probably can even meet even more, because you will take ownership of the participation plan, Title VI plan, provide input on non-motorized transportation plan. So probably, we will see maybe minimum 2 meetings a year, but more often as needed, just based on what planning products we have. So, this is just a proposal. So it still needs to be invested by you. And also, we want to clarify the public involvement strategies to be determined by the reorganized CEC and ACAT. It's basically CAT is doing that master transit plan. So we actually want to provide input on accessible transportation. So maybe we will just invite them to give us a presentation specifically on that, so that we can provide more targeted participation. So these are just some of the ideas. So if you have any questions, just contact Melanie and myself, because Melanie has to start coordinating with the mayors and the city council people, city managers, but I will be focusing on the technical work on it. So today, it's just to give you initial idea, and we are soliciting volunteers to help us to work through this process.
Do we have any questions about the presentation? Do we have any volunteers? I'll volunteer.
Volunteer, okay. Great, thank you.
I volunteer as well.
Did you volunteer?
Yes.
Okay, okay. So we have two volunteers. Okay.
And you will send out
Options. Yeah, because we will compile the list and we send you the proposed dates and time and so that we will work from there.
If these updates do get approved and agreed upon, about how long before they go into action?
We are proposing to, like I proposed, hopefully if everything goes smoothly, we want to start to operate under this new CornPU operates under the new MOU and the bylaws in January 2024.
I think that's attainable.
Yeah, so it might be attainable. Yeah, because we're still in February, right? Yeah, so we have about a year. So by that time we have everything. And then, I mean, if we do decide to combine CEC and ACAT, so we will elect the chair and the vice chair and then decide, I mean, when we're going to have meetings next year. So are we going to target like which plan? So because there will be several plans. I mean, 2050 plan, of course, is still got ongoing. So you definitely will provide that. So major milestones. So we're going to present it to you. Non-motorized transportation plan. We're going to also host the public meetings. So there will be, we will decide on the strategies.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
At this time, do we have any public comments? I do not believe so. And you all have your notices. So without any further comments, then I will adjourn.
We announced the next meeting date. I mean, it's on the paper, April, what, 20th?
Ah, yes, you're right. Our next core MPOCAC meeting is scheduled for April 20th, at 5:30 p.m., the day before my birthday. So we can adjourn. Thank you all. Have a good night.
Thank you.